Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. My name is Frankie Sachs, and I am back with my co-host, Javier Quintero. We missed you very much last week, Javi.
Yeah, but I didn't do very well, so it was a good week to actually be away because I had a series of fantasy inconveniences, let's say. You know that I signed two centers for round 12. None of them played. Then I switched to Serge Ibaka for round 13. He didn't play. So I've been basically without a center for the last two rounds, and it's been horrible.
So the good people anyway, should keep this in mind. For anything you say about centers, just beware. Javi has a center problem.
Yeah, we're here to give good advice, right? So whoever center I pick this week, it's, well, better for you guys not to pick him.
So now this is a pretty exciting week because we get to start from fresh.
Yeah, well, let's begin with you. You had a really, really, really good week, right? I mean, especially round 12 was really good for you.
Yeah, I've been rolling lately. I didn't print up my numbers. I don't have them in front of me because I didn't want to rub it into you. But the last few weeks have been good, and I'm climbing high.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you had 168 points in round 12, which was very high because the winner of the round had around 200, and then you went over 200 last week, right?
You know, a lot of people. Last week was a high-scoring week if you were fortunate enough to have Shane Larkin as captain, which Arla and I spoke about. It was going to be a good week for him. And there are those of us who have until now ridden Johannes Thiemann, and he had a 40-point week. So if you got the two of them, you're pretty good position. I didn't do as well with my Friday picks. I left Tadas Sedokerskis on my bench. I bet against him and some other guys instead. But still, it was a strong week. But now that's all in the past. Now we get to start from scratch, even though it was a good week. I've got to perform again now in the upcoming round 14 and see if I can keep beating you.
Yeah, well, it's easy when you play with one center down or two centers down. But last week I had Puerto and Francisco, who had around an 8. I was without a center, and I still scored 181 points. I mean, the coach won. I had Hesonja, who played really well. I had Larkin as captain, which was, I think, the difference maker for everybody last week. Unless you had Thiemann, which, of course, would also work. And I also had Shangeli, of course, who is the only good thing that happened to my fantasy team this year, basically.
So there's a bunch of names I think we should talk about now, since people are rebuilding from scratch, where we have many more opportunities. You can sell 11, including your coach, and start over. And one of the things that our list last week is a bit like a stock market. So let's take a look at the guys who we think have risen maybe too high. They're great players, but can they keep giving us the value at their price? And other guys who we think that are must-own players or players on the way up. And I'd like to start, one of the guys I start, no player has gained more points, more value, more credits this season. Do you know who the player, I'll ask you first, do you know who it is? Who's gained the most from round 1 to round 13?
I don't know, Shane Larkin?
No, it's Thiemann, who we just spoke about. He's up 4.5 credits to 12.9. Now, he's coming off a monster game. The momentum is there. He's having an incredible season. The question is, at 12.9 credits, is Thiemann someone who should be on your roster?
I had Thiemann in the beginning, but I haven't had him for a while, and I think I've been paying a big price for it. But I think people are going to come back. I mean, Khalifa Kumadji is going to play big minutes at some point. And I don't think Thiemann is going to keep up. It's difficult. Another name I have for you is Tadas Sedokerskis of Oskonia. Sedokerskis has been playing really well. He's still low, I think, at 11.5.
11.6. And he is number three on that list of players who've gained the most this season. He's up 3.9 credits from the beginning of the season. Number two, by the way, on the list is your main man who you've given a lot of credit for your success, Toko Shengelia.
Yeah, Toko has been amazing.
The number four who's someone else I want to talk to who I have concerns about, and I had him for several weeks, is Alec Peters, who's up 3.8 from the beginning of the season, 12.9. But they just added somebody else to the front court, and my concern is that when Petrusev gets going, he will take minutes away from Peters at the four, and that's a big risk for someone who you're paying 12.9 credits for.
And also Luke Sigmund is back, and he's going to play 4 and 5 at 94. So I think Peters got advantage of the situation, I mean, and played really well. And Okay, he had also, let's say, a big shoes to fill with Bezenkov gone, and he had to play Bezenkov's role somehow because he was the only, well, elite four available in Olympiacos. But that's gonna come to an end, like you said. They've been doing signings. Sigma's back. About Sadegerskis, I'll keep him. I think he's rebounding really well. He leads the league in rebounds, and that's always fantasy value. He has full confidence. Ivanovic really trusts him, and Moneke. So these two are players who I'd be surprised if they have a bad stretch at some point. And who was the other player? Toko Sangalia, same. He's the leader of the team. He's a solid fantasy choice every week, I would say. And this is something that you cannot say about pretty much anybody else, right?
Well, there are some other people we'll get to, but yeah, I think that he's a guy at that price and the way he's been playing and the way Virtus is playing. Well, the question that you have to then ask yourself, Virtus is in third place right now, and
Yeah.
is that sustainable? Is this team a Final Four contender? Will they keep winning games at this rate and giving that 10% bonus, which is quite relevant in fantasy? But if you have a
Well, I
lot of
think there
credits,
are.
then and you can splurge. I think that he is one of the high price players, especially at forward, who's giving you very consistent value.
They're playing at home a lot. I think they are 7-1 at home. That's 8 games out of 13 at home. But of course, they're gonna have to go on the road. Things are not gonna be that easy than in front of the fans. But like I said, Sangalia, I think he has. He's gonna be the leader of the team for the whole season. And also, Daniel Hackett is playing really well.
So
Hackett.
he's on the next list of guys. I was going to ask you the guys who've gained the most value in the last 3 rounds, and Hackett is third on that list. He's gone up 1.5 credits. Is that sustainable for Daniel Hackett?
I think so. I mean, he's a veteran. I mean, in a team full of veterans, I think he's in the right environment to keep, well, doing what he's doing right now. But maybe he's in a very, very good momentum. I mean, he's not gonna be like Shengelia giving you at least 10 or 12 PAR each and every week. He'll have bad games, but in general, I think he's gonna be solid.
I think that the issue for me with someone like Hackett is, yeah, on the one thing, yes, there's solidity in his game. You don't expect to have any bad games. You know what you're getting. But he doesn't have a game which is tailor-made for fantasy so much. He's a player who's more valuable to his actual team than he is to fantasy. And when I look at players like that, it does concern me a bit. Do I want to invest the money in him? The other two guys in that list, the three biggest risers of the last since round 10, Shane Larkin, who we should talk about some more, and Joffrey Laverne. So Larkin's up 2.3 credits, Laverne's up 1.6 credits. Larkin, until the rest of Efes starts coming back, he's going to have the ball in his hands. He can score. It's a bit, I don't know if we'll see 41 like he did last week, fantasy points, but I think he's also the most expensive player in the game at 17.3 credits. But at this point, given the situation, I think he's someone that who's worth riding. What do you think?
Yeah, him and Tyreek Jones are must-have players right now, I think. Larkin has been playing amazing, same level as we talked about pre-pandemic Larkin. He's a little bit back to that level, right? I mean, he's playing really well. Maybe when Bebois comes back, his numbers will go down, probably. And with Tyreek Jones, it's the same. I mean, with 3 players down, or 4 now, with Erkal Yilmaz also sidelined. I think, well, this is the way it's gonna be. Tyreek Jones is gonna put a double double pretty much every weekend. It's a must play to have.
Well,
But about
I
Larkin,
disagree. Let us disagree here. I disagree because I think that they've signed two guys to the front court. They played the last few weeks. Dan Oturu has looked fantastic in limited minutes, and I think with each game that comes, he's going to take a bigger role, and Jones will go back to his previous role. I had Jones on my team the last 2 weeks. This is no diss on Jones. I think that what you're often looking for here is how big is the role? And I think Ro Jones's role will now start to shrink as Oturu takes more minutes. And Oturu has looked great, he was signed on Monday, played on Tuesday, and he was already contributing. So I think the goal is to go to much more of a timeshare on minutes at the five there. and that cuts into Jones's value. So he is someone who I do not plan on having this coming week.
All right. Well, and then who else I want to talk to?
So
Yeah, I
here's a
wanted
couple
to
other
bring
guys
out.
who've risen lately that I want to ask your thoughts on. One is Ibaka. When do you plan to have? He's gone up 1.4 credits over the last 3 rounds. And the other is PJ Dozier, who's also up 1.4 credits from Partizan. What do you think of those guys? Are those guys that you're interested in having the next couple rounds?
Well, Ibaka, I mean, I should have seen it coming. He came off an overtime game. He's 34 years old. He's playing on the road. They decided to sit him out. I should have seen it coming, but I didn't. But in general, he's playing. I mean, he's in shape, and when he's in shape, he can be a difference maker at this level. The only thing that I'm missing is more block shots, but I think that's coming at some point. He's hitting threes. He's playing consistently, rebounding really well, leading the team. So Ibaka would be a solid choice as long as he plays, which is what happened to me last round. As as for Lovren, I think he's playing really well. Injury free finally, great rebounder, especially on the offensive end. Improve at the free throw line. I believe he's gonna be. I mean, and the good thing is that he's playing with Fall, so he can play four also. And that increases his well playing time because he's not falls back up. He can play with him also. So LeBron is an interesting choice, but depending on the team, right? I mean, if a team has let's say two really physical centers, I wouldn't play LeBron. But in general, he could be a good choice, I think.
What do you think about PJ Dozier on Partizan, who's
Well, he's been playing fantastic, and I think he's on the rise. He needed an adjustment period to the league, and now he's bringing his best level. I'm surprised also that Nanali is playing really well, really consistent. And I expect a lot of things from Caboclo from his year in the Euro Cup with Radio Farm. I think he's going to be getting better and better. Right now, few teams have the depth at the five, maybe Real Madrid, and a little more with Caboclo and Kaminski when he's back. But I expect a monster game from Caboclo sooner than later, especially while Kaminski's out. At some point, he's gonna be putting up big numbers, and it could be this week.
I think actually Kaminsky may be back this week, which kind of hurts that theory. And in general, I think that you have to be careful getting players who have great backups. I think that's been an issue this year a little bit for Walter Tavares, who was one of the most expensive players, if not the most expensive player coming into the season. And he's had a few bad games. And part of the reason is if there's not a great matchup or he gets into foul trouble, you don't have to ride him because Real Madrid has probably the best backup center in the league in Vincent Poirier. So why, and this could be the same situation. You have Kaminsky, you have Alan Smalagic. So will Bruno Caboclo get those minutes to be a dominant center?
Yeah, he can play four also, so we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. There's one name I want to add to the list. I want to know your opinion about Marcus Howard. He's the co-leader in scoring leader in the, along with Mike James. But he gets way more points than PAR. Do you think that this is going to be what's going to happen all season, or at some point he'll go to the line more, or he'll let's say balance his number of points with the PAR?
I'd have to look at the numbers more, but my understanding would be that since he's moved a little bit more off the ball from the start of the season and Cody Miller-McIntyre is doing more ball handling, that should help him get some better shots, increase those shooting percentages, and bring the PIR up a little bit. It certainly helped Baskonia win. There's no doubt that since they made the coaching change and then the change in the backcourt, that's happened, as well as Vanja Mirkovic having a much bigger role. So I'd have to really look into the numbers and matchups to give you a good answer. But ultimately, I think that he is one of those players. Marcus Howard is one of those players that's about matchups and your gut feeling. Does he have it this week? I don't know. He's somebody that there's as much for me when I have him. And I have had Howard's been in and out of my lineup, but it's kind of do I have a feeling about him? Because if he gets hot, he's excellent value. He's as good a fantasy player as group. If the shots aren't falling, he's going to still keep shooting, and then he can give you a you know, a pretty low number at his price. So those are players that I'm careful of, unless I have a great feeling about them that given week.
All right. Well, let's move on to the teams, right? Because we're running out of time. What did you do? What moves did you do this week? Did you change a lot of plays? Did you keep a lot of plays from last week?
Well, I have not.
Oh, you're rolling. You shouldn't make a lot of trades.
I have not finished my team. There's a lot of guys that I'm still looking at. I'm trying to decide. Do I want to have with Partizan? Do I want Punter? Do I want Dozier? I'm looking at Kendrick Nunn. Who I think, just like Dozier, Nunn is one of those guys that Nunn was a mid-season addition. Dozier's been here since the beginning, but sometimes guys after that first month, 6 weeks, get a couple games under their belt, they start to really produce, and I think that we could be looking at both those guys, and I want to see if I can fit them both into my lineup. I want to figure out what to do, what's going on at Jalgeris, now that they've signed Evan Sumner, and he's got 2 games. What's his value? How is that going to affect the rest of it? Jalgeris has a guy who I think otherwise might be worth targeting in Giedraitis at 4.3 credits. Last 3 games, playing well over 20 minutes. Is that going to continue? So do I want to reserve a spot on my bench there? Also, this week, you know, I'm a big believer in trying to stack my lineup to have guys for Thursday and Friday. And this week, we got 6 games on Thursday and 3 on Friday. So when I was trying to put together my perfect lineup, I was struggling to find guys who I believed in for Friday. Everyone, all the matchups I like were all on Thursday. So I'm not sure. It's going to take a little bit more juggling. But I promise on Wednesday night or Thursday afternoon at some point when it's all ready, I will release my lineup on Twitter. And then everybody can agree or make fun of me.
All right, well, provisionally I can give you my lineup, no problem. What I did is I kept 3 players who are Shane Larkin, Tuukka Shangelia, and Mario Hessonia, who are the 3 best players of last week. I picked 3 really cheap players who I think they could be on my, give me some positive PAR consistently, which are Giedraitis from Žalgiris, Josep Puerto, and Mandzukas. I think Mandzukas right now is the only pure 3 that Panathinaikos have, and he's going to get more minutes, and he's a very good 3-point shooter. At some point, he's going to hit shots, so we'll see. I bought 2 centers, of course. That's the important advice. I got Kavarius Hayes and I got Jonathan Motley. I went a little bit out of the box. Players who are not really picked a lot in the game. I think Motley could have an advantage. And also Hayes, with the money that I had, was the only starting center that was left. So just in case, the only problem is that they play the same, like you said. And the only player, I got Kendrick Nunn, like you kind of suggested. I think playing as well, it could be another chance for him to do very well. And finally, the last player would be Jerome Blossengame. Comes off a very good game. He led the regular season 2 years ago, the EuroCup regular season in PAR. He's been learning to play the 4, and now he can play 3 and 4. And I think this is a player that should go up. He's only 6-point-something grades. And, I mean, with the money that I had, I think he was the best choice. And the coach is going to be Sfairopoulos, who plays against Alba Berlin. I know a lot of fantasy managers have always picked whoever plays against Alba. I don't like to follow that trend because you saw what happened. I mean, I picked McBeatis when they played and they lost. But it is what it is. 6 grades only, or 6.1. I think the Zvezda is the heavy favorite against Alba this week. So that's my lineup.
Let me ask you one more question to help me make my lineup. At center, I know that you're an expert on center, so I will ask you. What do you think of Matthijs van Soort going to face Aswell, going back to France? Do you think that boosts him? Do you think we'll see a big night for him there? Or do you think it's something to stay away from?
Lezon was my first choice at center, but after the nightmare I had with centers, I decided to go with 2 guys who play, just to make sure that at least I have 1 center in my team. But I wanted to have Lezon and a really cheap center, like Ndiaye. But I decided to go the other way, because if Lezon doesn't play, then I don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean, I'm not too worried about him not playing at all right now, although... We've all been burned.
Trust me, it can happen.
No, it's happened to me. So the Kerskis missed the game earlier this season because he was ill, and I got 0 points for him and added my start in my lineup. So
in round 12, I had Nibo, and then I had the night off. I went to Palau Blaugrana, and then I saw Nyaki in street clothes, and I was like, what the hell is this? I couldn't believe it. It was
Javi, what have you done to anger the fantasy gods? And I have a lot of friends in Barca who
didn't
gods.
Tell me anything.
What have you done to anger the fantasy gods?
I don't know, man. But it's been painful. I tell you this, it's been painful. Anyway, that's it. Thank you for listening, and let's hope that at least one of my centers plays and plays well. If so, then I'll have a good chance to keep climbing in the standings. Let's see. And about you, good luck. Let's see. I'm looking forward to see you, Lena.
Yeah, I'm going to spend some more time on it, but I need to make sure that I stay ahead of you, so I have to invest that time to make sure that I'm good this week.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks a lot, guys. And
thank you, everybody, for joining us. Please tell your friends. Come watch us on YouTube or listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any place where podcasts are available. We are now available. And again, reach out to us on Twitter. I am Mr. EuroLeague on Twitter. Javi, tell the good people your handle.
Yeah, my handle is Ganchetto with two T's. So that's it. See you next week. Very good luck to everybody.
Tell us your ideas. Ask your question. Reach out to us. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want us to talk about next week. And we'll be back next week to review how our teams did and to talk about everything else going on in the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge.
Good luck. See you.